We pray. Heavenly Father, worker of miracles beyond our wildest expectation, so come with your gospel light, dear Lord, and work miracles in our hearts and lives. Transform us within and without, dear Lord, that aglow in your grace we might be a blessing to all around us. Use us, equip us, dear Lord, that they might know how wonderful you are by how we treat them. To you be our thanks and praise, now and forevermore. Amen. Jesus was sitting on the side of a grassy hill, and on that slope beneath him, the people were seated. Taking in all, a massive Bible study, and in the middle of it all, Jesus cries out, "But to you who are listening, I say." To you who are listening? Were some of those seated there not listening, not paying attention, daydreaming, talking? How about us? Are we paying attention? Or maybe Jesus was anticipating that what he is about to say, some would be offended at, and they would stop listening to what he had to say. Are we going to be offended? Pretend with me for a minute that brothers Don and Dean had their own little cheese factory just over the border in Wisconsin. They had grown it from a little garage cheese shop into a great big factory employing 300 people, distributing cheese in 4 different states. And they were seriously thinking of closing it all down, shutting down the business so that they could move to opposite ends of the United States. You see, Don loved listening to CNN News, and Dean couldn't get enough of Fox News every day. And so the brothers had gotten into shouting matches, day after day, turning their office into a verbal boxing ring over whether Republicans or Democrats were destroying the nation. Swinging, ducking, bouncing, whether mandates were good or bad, whether the critical race theory was enlightening or brainwashing our children's minds, whether their cheese factory should give money to Black Lives Matter or to the Canadian truckers' work stoppage. The brothers became enemies because they couldn't tolerate a differing opinion. Don and Dean had just expanded their company to add ice cream as one of their products of business. Clyde was the foreman in charge of producing their many cheeses, but now they would need another foreman to oversee the ice cream part of their business. Bonnie was the one who had all the experience and would be a natural shoo-in. But instead of a promotion, Clyde gave her a pink slip. They fired her. Bonnie was heartbroken and devastated after all the years of dedicated service she had given to them. Clyde didn't want a woman being the other foreman in the company, equal to him. He was sexist. Clyde filled Don and Dean's ears with lies and gossip, pressing them each and every day to fire Bonnie. No one noticed on the floor of the factory, standing right next to the 4 cheese vats, stood Tiny Tim. 6'4", 280 pounds, master cheesemaker, silently sobbing. his 16-year-old son, who had just gotten his driver's license, was broadsided by a drunk driver running a stop sign. He was killed. Do these people have reason to be angry? We scream in horror and wonder, can the brothers recover? Can dedicated workers simply just start all over again? Can a grieving family ever fill that enormous hole in their heart? Our God works miracles. Perhaps we are sitting on that grassy lawn, listening to Jesus with wounded or maybe even destroyed lives because of our enemies. When someone bloodies our family or steals money out of our pockets, or when they try to make us slaves or stab us in the back. Ooh, that aches to the very marrow of our being. In the time that it takes to slip our cell phone into our pocket, our hurt erupts into violent anger. Our minds launch into speeches about how rotten and miserable our enemies are, how he or she really deserves consequences, and we might just be the person to make it happen. Let's get even. Our hearts want our abuser to hurt just as much as we hurt. And then Jesus says, love your enemies. Oh. Love your enemies just as the Father loves your enemy. Jesus' words sound ridiculous when we're in the grip of anger. Satan's goal is to set off a chain reaction where our enemy's sin ignites our sins, which ignites more retaliation, which ignites more collateral damage. On it goes, wave after wave, until there's nothing left but bombed out lives, human rubble scattered everywhere. When we hit our thumb with our hammer, there is a slight possibility that a few expletives might come flying out of our mouths. We bandage our thumb, we calm down, we realize our words of sin were sinful, and we repent, trusting fully that the Lord forgives. But then there are our other sins, those nesting snakes that slither out from deep within us, those unspeakably horrible passions and desires that we play with, plot in, get carried away with. Even though they drive us to divide families, destroy reputations, and abuse others to fulfill our pleasures. After our moment of greed or lust, or after our success in lying or intimidating or revenge, the guilt of our sin comes crushing down upon our consciences. Oh, how it burns. Our hearts are filled with panic and dread, anticipating God's hatred and punishment. It is a terrible, terrible thing to fall under the judgment of God. And like dogs returning to their vomit, we go back and back to our sins over and over again. We are so guilty, so deserving of God's wrath. But does our Heavenly Father, what does our Heavenly Father do? Does he repay us according to what our sins deserve? God brings good into our lives, blesses us, reassures us that he is praying for us even as we are being carried off into the throes of sin. God once again turns the other cheek, planning how he is going to give us more than what we even ask, even though it is impossible for us to repay his generosity. Our Father in heaven continues to bless us, not to judge or condemn us. Not because our sins are so insignificant. No, they're still abominations in the eyes of God. He has already judged and condemned his Son in our place for all that we have done. Our Heavenly Father has forgiven us. How does that feel? Isn't it remarkable? Who are we that he should pour out his love upon us so richly and completely after we have been so terrible to him? Our hearts melt in the presence of his grace. It is at moments like this when we feel the burning anguish of our sins and taste the glorious gospel that he has washed us and lifted us high that we start to feel how much our Heavenly Father truly does love us with all his being. When we are overwhelmed by our guilt and fear, God reassures us that he has paid for those sins, removed them, and that he will give us double grace for all that we have done wrong. Jesus wants us to know the miraculous joy of sharing God's love with others. God allows us to have enemies. Enemies to hurt us, to abuse us, to persecute us, so that we might be able to have the power of the Father's love. Our Father empowers us to do for them what he has done for us. What the children see in their father, so they put into their own lives. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. But love your enemies. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Our Father gives us the power to do the impossible. Who are our enemies? What have they done to us? There are two roads that stretch out before us. Remaining hurt, which leads us to anger, which leads us to revenge, even if the revenge is only played out in our minds. Or the other path. Taking our hurt and running into the waiting arms of our Heavenly Father. Which leads us to forgive as we have been forgiven. Praying for our enemy that this sin will not bring God's terrible judgment down upon them. That he or she might know the sweet beauty of God's forgiveness. That this great evil they have done will also be washed away in the blood of Jesus. Why, God might even give us the opportunity to do good to those who have done evil to us in order to make us little windows for our enemies to look through, to look and see a life beyond this sad world we live in. a life filled with God's light, love, and peace. And the power of forgiveness, unending hope, and the glory of heaven. Why would we risk losing all of that because our feelings are hurt in this world? Because we choose to hold a grudge? Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. If we measure our mercy by the thimble, God will measure it back to us. There may always be people out there who enjoy seeing us cry. But what would life be like if we really had no enemies? No one that we felt ill against. We love God because He first loved us. And we love our enemies because God loves them. He has paid for their sins and ours. Are we God? Our Father blesses both us and our enemies when we live out His words, love your enemy, just as the Father loves your enemy. Amen. Please rise. We pray, Heavenly Father, so work this miracle of grace within us, that we might bask in the sunshine of your never-ending love, your full and complete forgiveness, and that we might be generous in sharing your love and forgiveness with all around us, also that they too may join us in an eternity in heaven. Bless us and guide us ever onward in your grace divine. Amen.